Guy and the Dog. I'm your host, Deepak.
And I'm Arshna.
And we have our dog, Lulu. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Yoga, Chai and the Dog. We are going to continue with our previous two episodes that when we started talking about New Year resolution in the first episode of this year. And then in the very next episode, we talked about the power of habits and how habits can help you strengthen your resolve and keep your resolutions alive. And Archana had mentioned that a key point also is around psychology of eating. Now, that is really very surprising because all of the time, I always thought psychology was about mind. Yeah. And now there's a psychology of eating. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm as blank as you all listeners are. And without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to Archana to explain the topic. And then probably that might incite some, thoughts in me, and I'll keep on interjecting as usual. So, Archana.
Hi, guys. I have sore throat, so just in between, maybe I can, I will just not be so clear. So let me know. And I will try my best to be really clear about with my voice. So yes, as Deepak said, that it's about, psychology is about mind. So eating psychology is also about mind. And as in psychology, we see archetypes. So we, as a coach, we see the archetype of the client also. We see why the, how the mind rules our gut actually. And so that is why eating psychology is a very good tool for any coaches who is working on the nutrition side of it and with the client. It helps them to know themselves. The client knows themselves better how to deal with the food. So yeah, that's what eating psychology is about.
So you said two things. First one, I always have two things.
Deepak listens everything very carefully, so I can't say anything wrong here.
First, now you've introduced a new term called archetype. What the heck is that?
Archetype is something like in psychology, people who are psychologists. I'm just the eating psychology coach, but in psychology we do archetype as the victim and all those. But in here we do archetype as the king, prince, princess, queen, and we see, and it's according to the age of the person. And let's say I would give you an example. So a 50-year-old woman who wants to lose a certain kg, maybe 10 kg, 12 kg. And most of the time, people are stuck into that weight which they used to have when they were in university or maybe when they are very young, like in their 20s. So they are stuck into that. And their mindset, the mind plays that role of archetype here where they are already queen. So beyond 30, 35, it's being queen. And when you are in your 40s and 50s, you are already queen. You know what you want. So if we are stuck into that and we show them how it's there are different tools to work on this and we show them their age, not in a bad way, because being queen is something really good.
I thought being queen was 90-year-old. Our queen is 90-year-plus.
Yeah, but age is a privilege. It's yeah. And if you are living with your own wisdom and everything, so age is nothing. Yeah. So when they understand the archetype, and sometimes this understanding is really important because we are stuck. I can't behave like my 20-year-old daughter. I can have those adventure and passion to learn and do things, but there is a wisdom which is coming with my age. So this is where we talk about archetype in eating psychology too.
So I mean, how is the age related to eating? I know, the more you grow old, you have got digestive issues and all that kind of thing.
It's not exactly the eating, but when you there is different, this is one of the tool I am saying. So when people talk about eating psychology, so let me break it down. So eating psychology is something where, why do you eat certain food? Yeah. And there are binge eating, there are emotional eating, and people sometimes they just don't eat enough. So those are the things. And when you start, when you start coaching a client, then you break it down into something to understand them well. why they are doing certain things. And when they understand those things, you know, like it's not important to know what age you are, but it's really important to know your age is just not the number. It has come with a lot of wisdom. It has come with something. So it just resolve. It's very complicated, you know, in just few minutes. I can't explain that way.
As a person, as a lay person, as a non-coach, mm-hmm. when I'm trying, I've made resolutions, mm-hmm. and then I listen to your second episode, mm-hmm. and I've woven habits around mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. and I'm still following it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, and my issue is weight loss, for instance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do I need to know about my psychology of eating in order to affirm it well?
First of all, in psychology of eating, we don't consider any food good or bad. Yeah. So, yes, I know the nutritional value of the food is different. So if you would come to me as a client and you want to lose weight, sometime we have to let that mindset of losing weight to go to lose weight. Does it make sense? So the mindset, we are just stuck into that mindset of losing weight. So as an eating psychology coach, I take them to any of the coaches who is, you know, I'm trained by Mark David. He's in Colorado, and he has got a lot of practitioners who has been trained under him. And so it's more like how you take the client away from that emotions of there, or that thing that, oh, I want to lose weight, and they have
that
tried
fixation.
Years and years. Yeah, the fixation of that. So
yeah.
Lose that concept and start working on it. So slowly we start showing them how food is not good or bad. So we make our food good or bad. Yeah. How your choices can, you know, it's like in moderation, you can eat something. But the thing is, if that moderation time length is something like you are indulging, but still you are calling it moderation. So we show them that. Sometimes we eat food because we have some emotional issue also. Or maybe we are, during stress we eat. Sometimes our upbringing, you know, there was someone who I worked with, and she was eating a lot because of some of the abuses which happened in her childhood, and she didn't want it to look in a different, in a perfect figure or anything. So she was eating a lot just to not to be seen. So eating psychology is much, much deeper work. It works on the inner child issue. It works on the food. First we make them, it start with a very basic step of food, you know, and how. And once they know everything is in place, then the nutrition come. And then we start showing them the way, how to lose weight or anything like that.
So, right. Again, as a layperson, what do I need to be cautious, or what do I need to be conscious about? Not cautious about. Cautious will come only after when I'm conscious. So what do I need to be conscious about my eating?
It depends on person to person, Deepak. So because you are my husband and I know your way of eating in a way, because I live with you, so I know how. So
let's say a person... office goer, works 9 to 5, probably has a very hurried breakfast in the morning, and then then goes to the office. Probably in the office they might have a couple of cups of tea or coffee. In between they might also have snacks, then probably lunch. Most of the time these days lunch, I mean, people eat while they work, so again it's a sandwich or something like that. And by the time in the evening, by the time you are again you are hungry, so you again graze a bit more, come home in the evening, and if you still have got stamina left, you cook something, or you put a pizza or something, always saying, okay, fine, I'm having pizza today, but then in the weekend I'm going to have good food and whatever. And you know, and that is what typically life is. Let's say this is your client.
So this is what Deepak is saying, is a very generic view of a client. So let's say I pick up a client, which is a client named Atul. Yeah. And he has been, indulging here and there in the food, and he's not losing weight. the first thing is people generally think that they are very active. Yeah. And when I talk to any of my clients, they said, oh, we don't eat that much. And, you know, I'm very active. So the first thing what we do is just start writing it down. Yeah.
The food diary.
And not food diary. In eating psychology, first we start them to write. When they eat certain food, let's say they come home, they are tired, so they have 2 glasses of wine with cheese or something like that. So write down how you were feeling that time. What was your emotion that time? So sometimes
obviously
people would say,
good.
Yeah, no, after that, you know, for two glasses of wine, who would? No, for a while you will feel good, but that goes, that dips down immediately. That's the truth. But we are not talking about that, Deepak, here. We are talking about that. When you start your drink, so it might be a very hectic day, or maybe it might be something which you really want to enjoy. So how we associate pleasure with food. So when we are a child, so this is the reward system in most of the houses. When you have a good result, you have achieved something, so your parents would give you something sweet or something to celebrate. So we associate anything with celebration. Okay, and when we are when we are a kid and when we are really irritated and crying or something, so what happened? As a parent, they offer you food. So whenever any emotion is not handled, we are offered food. So this is so deep rooted in our brain that anything happen, we associate it with the food. So if that client, and I'm just talking about a generic client, but the thing is, if one client comes to me, I have to look at their lifestyle and their upbringing and everything. So it's just a very general way of telling what we do. Work as a eating psychologist. So I will look at it. Okay, what was his or her reward system, and how does he deal as an adult, and then has he got any replacement? Because reward is important. Yeah, reward is important. We talked about this in habit.
So you replace your sweets with wine and cheese.
No. so if that person. So having some creativity in life, having something which pulls you, you're maybe taking a bath or maybe just brushing your teeth. Sometimes there are things what we really don't have seen it as a reward. Yeah, sometimes, you know, not rewarding yourself with food, but rewarding yourself with going out and meet a friend and just go out for a walk for a while. And maybe you share something very nice. A story or something and eat something nice. So this is also in a way you replace it, but it's much more deeper. And then we start working on what's going inside, you know, why people are attracted to certain type of food.
Okay, so at that time when I was interjecting, I'm saying, okay, somebody who has worked for 10 hours in the office, now you want the person to come back and reward by walking another mile?
it's look, I'm just giving you an example. They can do, you know, I'm not saying that walk is the only thing. Maybe they can just have something, a good bath, you know. They would think, okay, today I would replace my wine with having a good bath, and then I will have a good dinner.
Or you can get in a bath and have a wine and light some candles and then just kind of, you know, relax.
This doesn't work like that.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
No, that's okay. It doesn't work like that. That, you know, if a person wants to, you know, the person who wants to give up wine or anything, they will...
Make an
initiation. And they would come and see a eating psychology coach. Not a person who really want to indulge or who really want to be into that same cycle. They will not come to the eating psychology coach or any of those.
So how will I, let's say for instance, I mean, you know, how would I know that, okay, things are not working for me and here is the time when I need to go and probably seek some help from an eating psychology coach? What, I mean, are there any symptoms that, you know, or is it something like, okay, I've been trying to give up wine or smoking or eating junk food for a long time, but every time I kind of relapse. So basically I need to go and see, or is it, or something more
than
that?
Do you know, Deepak, every adult who has reached their age to 30 to 40, they have tried almost like minimum 20 to 25 different type of diets. This is a research
What?
diet, like they really want to lose weight sometime, they really want to gain weight, and for number of reason, detoxification and clean eating and all those. So they they lose weight for a while, or maybe they, you know, if they want to gain weight or something, whatever they want, they achieve that for a while and then it comes back. So people who approach eating psychology coach are the one who has tried everything, and then sometime they really think, let me try this. This is a different,
This as that.
And honestly, when people understand their own psychology, it's not about my psychology, like, you know, as a coach, it's their psychology, why they are doing certain things and why their indulgence is related to their emotions and their own archetype. And there are so many things when they start knowing it, and how they could identify food as a source of energy, not good or bad. And once they start knowing it, then they concentrate on, oh, whether I am eating local farmer's food, whether I am drinking filtered water. So then the consciousness start, because your awakening starts when you truly understand yourself from inside and out.
So basically, I mean, let's say coming back to the point where you had resolutions, you have made habits around it. So how does psychology of eating help cement that?
It's
Or are they not kind of linear? They're not in a linear manner as I'm trying to put in. So, you know, you have made your resolutions and then, you know, you have consciously picked up habits and then you are building
No,
habits around
definitely
it.
it's a linear also, because, you know, this is something very different, because, you know, when I did my eating psychology coaching few years back, and I really found that I was eating really good, and, you know, I was taking care of myself and everything, but there were so many things which I learned, and I really thought, and with my clients also, my you know, the result, the outcome was very different, because people really start knowing themselves better, rather than they are chasing the outside world, rather than chasing their friend's diet plan and you know, the other person.
Or falling for the ads that you
Yeah,
see.
falling for the ad. So, you know, I have worked with people who would come to me and they would say, oh, my friend has done this dieting and she has lost, she looks absolutely amazing. So when I didn't have this tool, it is very hard for them to understand that, you know, for me also to convince them in a way that, okay, you are a different person. Because, but when they start knowing their eating pattern, when they start knowing their emotions, why they eat, why, because we all are more or less very similar, but we are very unique in a way, and our upbringing is plays a very major role. And when we start under, and our environment, how we are now in this environment, so everything, when a client start understanding their, and then you could pick a diet. I'm not against any diet, but I am, every diet has got some nugget to give you. But the thing is, if you are scattered, if you don't know exactly, you know, why you are doing it, and, you know, it's just not for 21 days, it's more than that, it's your lifestyle. So that's why it's really a good step to come and look, go for a
So,
eating psychology coach or something.
if you actually approach an eating psychology coach and then you go through the process, then does that make you alter what you are eating before? Or like, you know, like going to a Weight Watcher or going to any kind of a dieting plan is very easy. I don't really need to think. They plan out everything for me, and you know, and in most of the cases they also send me, you know, food, which I just need to cook and eat. But how does the psychology of eating differ from a typical normal
No,
weight
we
plan?
it's not, we don't design any food for you
So
or
how would I
any
know what
meal.
to eat?
you will know how to eat.
No, how, not how to eat, what to eat. I know how to eat.
The best thing here with eating psychology, when you understand that, when you have a clear concept, and there would be, you know, because my background, especially when I'm talking about myself, when I'm working as an eating psychology coach. So I deal with the psychology part, and they are allowed to eat whatever they are eating, but I show them how to have a smaller plate when they are eating. So some tweak in their system. So have a smaller plate, no distraction when you are eating. So at least one meal you can eat without distraction, like no mobile, no or TV. And if you have a conversation, have a lighter conversation rather than, oh, you know, getting this, that, yeah, yeah. So you will not digest the food accordingly. So, and then if you have a favorite food like ice cream, so we don't ask them to give up ice cream, but we ask them not to eat ice cream from whole tub. Rather than you have a small, your favorite bowl or anything, you take that and have one or two scoop and sit and silently enjoy that food. You know, enjoy the each bite of those ice cream. So there are certain changes we ask them to do on the food front. And slowly the person start coming back and they said, you know what, Arshna, you know, I used to love ice cream, but now sometimes I don't want that one scoop also. So it's not that I have given them a diet plan, but they are very conscious of what they are eating and how they are feeling. So they take responsibility of their emotion, and that's why it works.
Wow. Okay. That's something new that I have learned today. And, oh, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So that's great. So I hope, guys, you learned something over the last three episodes around resolutions and habits and psychology of eating. And of course, as you would have understood, Archana she is a certified coach in psychology of eating. And if you are really struggling with your food, or if you are really hopping on from one diet plan to another, I think probably it's a good idea to give her a call. Would you mind, Archana?
I must mention here that I'm one of the most renowned practitioner in eating psychology coaching, and I have been writing the blog for them, and I have been featured in their social media a lot
oh,
of
yes.
times.
Yeah. I remember.
And if you want
me.
To, if you live in a place where you, I do Skype on this also. If you want to know more about the eating psychology practitioner, you can go to their site. You can look for the practitioner. There are many practitioners working. But if you want to work with me, you're most welcome. So I'm here.
Great. Interestingly, last 2 weeks, Archana was extremely busy. Yeah. She was attending this advanced course on yoga in London.
Yoga teacher's training.
Yoga teacher's training. And every day, well, imagine, she would travel to London, and then do yoga for 10 hours. 10 hours?
No, yoga asan we do just for 4 hours, and then we study about the anatomy,
yeah,
physiology,
yeah. And then she
how
would,
it affects
then
the
she
body.
Then she would come
know.
Back, and then yet she would be bubbling with enthusiasm, and she would be sharing a lot of things, this and that. So I think she has a lot of stories to tell and that. So I think we are going to talk about that in our next episode, what new things you have learned in yoga. And she also had a lot of interaction with people from all over the world. There were people who had come from Philippines, and there were people who had come from US and of course mainland Europe and UK, of course.
And US, so, Canada.
And US and Canada. So how about doing that in the next episode?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And if you are a teacher, yoga teacher, and if you want to to know more about this training, or if you are just yoga enthusiastic and you want to know what yoga people do in their further education. Yeah.
All right. Okay, guys, thank you very much for your time. Have a great weekend, and see you till the next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.